So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
After over a decade of back and forth over what to do with the former Westwood Country Club site in the middle of Amherst, the town gave a new answer yesterday. Turn it over to the county. WBEN Zach Penkew here with more.
Erie County is now taking over the former Westwood Golf Course and turning it into the Willowdale Park. Erie County Executive Mark Pullencar says it will be owned and controlled by the county.
We would not be here today, and the site, who knows what it might be, and it could be something that the public didn't want, which was future development of housing development after housing development. We've heard from the public. We know that's not what they want, and that's not what's going to be here.
However, Dan Gagliardo, who's running for Amherst Town Supervisor, says he's not surprised there wasn't a formal announcement sooner.
It's nice that we find out that they've been in discussions for a year, and we found out today. In culpa levin fashion, this was going on. Nobody knew about it, and we're supposed to be all excited about the fact that the county wants to come in, take control of the piece of property, and give us $7 million for 171 acres of prime real estate in Amherst, and we lose all home rule on it.
Zach Van Q, WBEN.com News.
Zach, thank you, and this is a long time coming in the making. The county set to spend between $6 and $7 million to open a 9-hole golf course on the property by next year. Previous plans for the site over the past 13 years included a $238 million private housing development. Most recently, a public space that would have included a splash pad, playground, musical fair, theater building, and a museum that was shot down, though the playground will still be part of this entire park. I feel like we've been talking about the Westwood Country Club
Westwood
site.
Westwood closed
for forever.
In 2014. So we've been talking about this for 11 years.
I mean, I have friends who worked in the kitchen.
At Westwood?
At Westwood.
Yeah.
Back when I was in high school, when it was still, and then it closed right at about that time.
Right.
And ever since, we've been talking about what's going to happen
there
next.
And we've actually been talking about it even before it closed,
yeah.
Right?
Unbelievable.
Erie County will be tabling any discussion of the ongoing investigation into the DJ Granville incident. More on this from WBEN's Tom Puckett.
Erie County Legislature Chairman Tim Meyer says the decision to cancel the meeting to discuss the DJ Granville investigation was made following multiple conversations over the past week with members from both sides of the aisle.
I think as a courtesy to the Buffalo Common Council, he decided to delay it in order to get more information.
Legislator Gene Vinyl says not many answers came from a Buffalo Common Council meeting on the investigation into the sheriff's chief striking several parked vehicles with his county-issued vehicle. She has an issue over timesheets in the matter.
That's because it was a take-home vehicle, and because they don't clock in overtime, he has over, maybe 80% more of his salary in overtime. That seems like a lot. And so I think those are things, and I did ask the sheriff for information on the timesheets to see, because we should know there were timesheets for that week as to whether he claimed time during that.
Vinyl says if she can't get information, that merits a meeting as well. Hear more online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, President Trump signaling that a trade deal with China might be on the horizon. U.S. companies continue to warn of looming higher costs if it doesn't.
Trump's tariffs aimed at bringing back American jobs have rattled markets as China retaliates. Representatives from Walmart, Target, and Home Depot met with the president Monday, warning of higher prices and empty store shelves. Cargo ship traffic from China to key ports on the West Coast has dropped 35% compared to the same week last year. Those ships carrying everything from clothes to household goods.
A dozen states, meanwhile, led by Oregon and including New York, have sued the Trump administration in the U.S. Court of International Trade to force a stop to its tariff policy. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays.
We are facing an unprecedented and lawless presidency, one that has made a habit over the last 3 months of disregarding the separation of powers and ignoring the two other co-equal branches of government.
Attorneys general say the tariffs are not only harmful to consumers, but illegal, since only Congress can impose tariffs outside of an unusual and extraordinary threat from abroad.
Starting next month, the Education Department will resume sending unpaid student loans to collections. Hannah Brandt with more.
Advocates tell me they're worried about the impact this could have for the more than 5 million borrowers who are in default on their loans.
Borrowers are already struggling with rising costs in the economy, groceries, rent, childcare. This just couldn't come at a worse time.
Candace Lofton with the Student Borrower Protection Center says this could be devastating, especially when the Trump administration is rolling back income-driven plans that lowered monthly payments.
Borrowers want to pay their loans back, but they have a right to afford to do so. And in these challenging times, instead of helping borrowers do that, the Trump administration is choosing to penalize them.
Collection referrals have been on hold since 2020.
Fewer Americans are smoking, according to a new study, but most of us are not doing other things to make ourselves healthy, like getting cancer screenings, drinking less alcohol, and getting enough exercise.
In 1964, a record high 42% of U.S. adults smoked. Today, a record low 11% of adults still smoke, according to new data from the American Cancer Society. But the report finds most Americans are not meeting physical activity recommendations, and 70% of the U.S. population is overweight or obese, and over half do not meet aerobic physical activity recommendations of at least 150 minutes of moderate physical activity a week. Alex Stone, EBC News.
But hey, we stopped smoking, right?
Yeah.
No?
A lot of people have.
Well, the way Americans shop with food stamps could soon change if health officials in Washington get their way.
West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrissey took his fight against sugary drinks all the way to Washington.
It's no longer entitlement for you to get your soda because there's no nutritional value in sodas.
Morrissey is urging federal officials to ban the use of SNAP, most commonly known as food stamps, from purchasing soda.
I don't think that we're looking at taking away fun, but I think the soda is a significant portion of what people are spending the money on.
He says the idea is about promoting healthier families and reducing health care costs down the road.
Now, that's Rashad Hudson with the report, gaining a lot of momentum, this idea to put pop off of that list. I just think it's funny it's coming from West Virginia, which the only thing I think of in West Virginia is Mountain Dew and baby bottles.
Oh, right, Mountain Dew. Oh, my God.
No offense to the people in West Virginia. I saw that in a movie.
Right.
It happens.
That's funny.
Anyways.
The NFL draft takes place tonight in Green Bay.
Approximately 250,000 fans are expected to be on hand when the three-day NFL draft kicks off at Lambeau Field. The Titans have the first overall pick. They're expected to select Miami quarterback Cam Ward, a guy Titans GM Mike Borgonzi thinks highly of.
Competitive edge that he has, you can feel that. He's very intelligent. You know, we've had him on the board several times.
The Browns, Giants, Patriots, and Jaguars round out the top five picks. The Titans will be on the clock at 8 Eastern. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News.
Could be a late night for Bills fans, right? If we stay.
If you choose
30.
To stay awake.
Right.
For pick number 30. This is like one of those. Am I alone here? I mean, Joe's probably the best to answer this question. I feel less. I don't know. You had to remind me yesterday that the draft starts tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound probably awful, but I'm more excited about the schedule release than the draft.
Like, I think that sounds like
too.
Most people.
Yeah, I trust Brandon Bean. I mean, hey, I watch a lot of college football. I know these players, but like,
it doesn't have the weight that it has had other years. This draft.
I mean, obviously, in the past, when you're picking early, it feels big, right?
The Josh Allen draft was exciting.
Josh Allen draft you think of, but yes. Even you know some of these other drafts, all right, you think when we took Ed Oliver,
that was a big deal.
We didn't have a pick in the first round that year, but it was early in the second round,
right,
so you know it's night two, early on you get to the Bills pick, there's a lot of buzz around it. And then even last year all this talk, there's a lot of receivers in the draft. who are the Bills going to? We need a wide receiver, right? We need to get that guy in here. So there was a lot of buzz. Now, I mean, you know, oh, we need that guy. We need that guy. Well, we didn't.
Right.
I mean, they scored the most points in team history without that guy. So the need isn't as glaring. The pick is one of the last three in the round tonight. I kind of think you have people, the names, you know, instead of a list of like three possible guys you're looking at, it's 30 possible guys. Right. And I'm sorry, I'm not learning any of these names.
No, you know, I will
learn them when they're here.
I was just going to say, I will find out about the pick tomorrow morning when you guys talk about it.
Right. This is definitely one of those drafts where it's like you wake up in the morning. All right, who did we get?
Yeah, tell me now. Not losing sleep over
this
one.
Let's see. But, you know, for some people, it's all day, all night.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Event.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. For this afternoon, calls for an ample amount of sunshine. The breeze out of the west. High temperatures will be into the mid-70s. Coming up for tonight, look for a partly starlit sky. Temperatures will be dropping back to near 50 overnight. For tomorrow, clouds will be on the increase, and we'll find some scattered showers and possibly even a thundery downpour in the mix. High temperatures into the low 70s, and we'll find additional scattered showers and thunderstorms for Saturday. Saturday's highs in the upper 50s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Josh Nichols.
Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter for WGR, with us live on WBEN. It's draft night in Green Bay, and the Bills have the 30th pick. All right, Sal, my biggest question, what time could this happen if they stay with their pick?
You're looking at about 11:30 p.m. tonight. That's about where number 30 will be, according to the last several years of how the draft has gone. So remember last year, we were thinking they were going to pick 28th, so they were about 11 o'clock, a little after. They traded down. It's like, okay, it's going to be a little more after this, and then they traded down again and out of the first round entirely. So we left late at night Thursday night, and they had not made a pick.
Oh, well, it was that kind of pushback last year. The thing about last year, Sal, though, is everyone was kind of like, all right, they need a wide receiver. You know, are they going to pick a wide receiver? This year, I feel like it's a lot more open, right? I mean, defensive back, defensive line. I mean, wide receiver's still there too, but I feel like there's a lot of different ways that the Bills could go here.
Yeah, I think defensive tackle is what I have the Bills taking in my mock draft I just posted this morning, WGR550.com, a guy named Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. But the player doesn't matter. I do think defensive tackle matters because that's why I think that they'll be looking along with cornerback. I think those are the two main positions, defensive tackle, maybe edge rusher, defensive end, and cornerback. I think those are the three positions they could really draft in the first round. I'm pretty confident they're going to go defense. I think they're going to go defense most heavily all through the first two rounds, the three picks that they have scheduled for. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get a bigger body defensive tackle early in this draft and maybe tonight at number 30.
We know Brandon Bean has not been afraid to move around in previous drafts. Do you think it's more likely that the Bills move up or trade out of the first round?
It's a good question. I mean, this is a bit of a conundrum because most teams, including the Bills, we know this, Brandon Bean said it, don't have 30 first-round graded players. So the way they grade their board is they say, do we think this guy is a first-round talent? Well, the Bills are picking 30. They don't have 30 guys on their board. In fact, this seems to be a draft where far less than normal even. I've heard reports of teams only having 12 first-round graded players on their board. So do the Bills say, we want to trade high up to try and get as high as we can to get a guy we actually have a first-round grade on? Or is that too much to play because it's going to be a lot to do that and say, maybe we trade down because we're drafting in the first round, but we don't actually have a first-round graded player, so let's not do that. Let's go get the value of what the guy actually is and go back into the second round. Problem there is, not really a problem, but they do have two second-round picks already. They have 56 and they have 60, so trading down gets you another second-round pick. They also have 10 picks right now, guys, and I don't know if 10 guys are making this roster, to be quite honest with you.
Hmm. And then there's always next year, which I feel like Brandon Bean kind of alluded to when he was talking earlier this week of, you know, hey, 10 guys, probably not all going to make the roster. We don't want to draft a guy who we're going to say there's no way he's making this roster. So part of that movement could be, I guess, pushing back, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that last part, what you said. You cut out right, there. So go ahead, Ryan.
Pushing back into maybe even next year instead of, you know, we always talk about trading back as into trading into later rounds, but maybe back an entire year.
Sure, but here's the issue with that. If you go up, it's going to cost you most likely. It could cost you a first-round pick next year because depending on how high you go. It doesn't have to. The Bills have done that the last couple of years, as Susan pointed out. They've traded up for Kyrie Lum. They traded up for Dalton Kincaid. Didn't cost them a first-round pick because they didn't go that high. Where they are at 30, if they go down, they're not getting a first-round pick next year. If they go down because a team, unless they go really far down, I don't think any team is coming back to 30 to give up a first-round pick for next year because that's very late in the draft. But you're right. If you want to think about next year because of what I just said and, hey, 10 guys aren't going to make this roster. We have 10 picks right now. What can we do? I think that's when you start to maybe get those middle-round picks or late-round picks, start shifting them around, and maybe you gain some more assets for next year because, as Brandon Bean has said and has always operated, it's not just a one-year thing. They have Josh Allen here, and they want to try and win championships throughout his window.
You know, the Bills would like to bring the draft event here to Orchard Park sometime before the end of the decade, you know, 28, 29 maybe. How much are you going to be kind of looking at how these things look in Green Bay and, you know, how they might translate to a place like Orchard Park?
I think it would be a fantastic fit here in Buffalo, and we know from my conversation with Pete Gwelly at the owners' meetings last month that we spoke about, the Bills are really pushing for it. They want it. They want the draft here. Pete said 2028, or maybe most likely, more likely 2029 because of the work that has to be done, and I think that means the work around all of Western New York, figuring out the spacing for people. I mean, we're talking about one of the great things about living in Western New York, as you guys know, is we're so close to so many other cities in the country, in the Northeast. It's an hour and a half drive to Toronto, but you know, you're just a few short hours to Cleveland or Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Washington, New York City, Boston. You're going to get a lot of people here in Buffalo for that. You're going to need spaces for them. You need transportation for them. And I think that it's going to take a little while to figure that out, but I think that they want to do it. They're pushing to do it. And I believe from everybody I've talked to, the league, it's going to happen. I think everybody's just got to figure all that stuff out.
Hey, before we let you go, James Cook, not at voluntary OTAs amid a contract dispute. What's the level of concern with him right now?
Well, I think you should be concerned from that standpoint, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, that you know that he has a contract issue. Now, I will say, though, it's funny. We all do assume it's a contract dispute, but you know, I mean, Brandon Bean said, let's not assume that. It is voluntary. Guys are not here for other reasons. He said he hasn't been told he's not here because of his contract. He could be here next week or the week after. But I agree with you, Susan. I think that, you know, looking at the situation, it's probably something where, you know, he's making a bit of a statement, right, that he's staying away because of it. So we'll see where it goes. As far as concern of him missing games in the regular season, I think we're a long way from that. But it's certainly got to be on your mind a little bit if you're a Buffalo Bills fan.
Well, Sal, can't wait to see how tonight plays out, and we'll be talking with you all about it tomorrow. Sal Capaccio joining us on draft day. The Bills right now hold the 30th overall pick.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.